Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Cindy Sansom Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love and Why Good People Can't Leave Bad Relationships. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, a writer, an entrepreneur, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order, and she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hello, Nicole. How are you?
Hello, Cindy. How are you?
Good. And I know you were asking me something about your grandma who recently passed away, who wasn't the world's nicest person when she was on the earth, just so some of our listeners
who
might not be familiar with this particular scenario. In case they wonder why we're saying what we're going to be saying in a minute, but you asked me
exactly.
A question that you weren't sure she left the earth plane, so yet, you know, maybe that she was a poltergeist, maybe she hasn't crossed over. So tell me what would make you think that.
Okay, so as you all already know, Cindy, my brother is, like, very, very sensitive, okay, to things like that. Only he's, like, afraid, so it kind of freaks him out when he gets, like, little glimpses of things. But, like, one day I was talking about my grandmother at work, and I had gotten into the car, and even though I wasn't in an excessive amount of traffic or anything that would normally set me off, I suddenly got, like overflowing anger. And just ick, where I was like literally screaming at the top of my lungs in the car in the biggest fit of road rage that I've ever felt. But like, it wasn't even like I just yelled and got it out of my system. It was like, I felt like a wave of it come over me where I was just, I wanted everybody just dead. Okay. I finally, and then all of a sudden I was like almost like on the verge of like tears because of this. And now when my grandmother was still here, she would like cry a lot, and she would like do this, it sounded almost like a fake cry, and I swear I caught myself doing that in the fucking car. And then by the time I got home, I was still fucking angry. All I was imagining was hitting something or someone by the time I got into my house. And then as soon as I walked up my stairs, I turned around, I was like, wait, before I even entered my home, I said, if there is anything near me, attached to me, or feeding on me, I said, you are not welcome in my home, and stay the fuck out. And I walked in my house, and I was completely, that wave in reverse, and all of a sudden, I just felt like a cleansing almost, and it was just gone. All that anger and all that freaking hatred towards everybody was, like, gone. And within, like, I guess maybe I hadn't seen my mom or been to my mom's house in a couple days after that. And when I got back here, I was like, Mom, like, the weirdest thing happened to me. She's like, oh, my God, it's so funny you said that, because Damien could have sworn that when he was coming home the other night, he saw Mima standing in her window. He came in and he asked if she wore a lot of white when she was younger, because somebody was standing in the window. Meanwhile, it's like 3 o'clock in the morning. And there was nobody in that room.
Wow. Well, I think she's definitely crossed over, by the way, because I think they sort of grabbed her and got her to cross over. But I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, some of her being might try to be, you know, coming back here. They are allowed down on Earth 100 hours a month, normally good people. Bad people are not usually allowed down on Earth. So I wouldn't be surprised that she's pretending she doesn't know the rules and she comes down and they yank her back up. I have no doubt that this woman is going to
It hasn't
really
happened since that day. Thank God it hasn't happened.
And I don't think it's
going
to happen, because when you said, you know, anything that's attached to me, leave, because what it was she was trying to, like, bend the rules of the afterlife, which means, well, they want to see me. They want to know that I'm around. They want to know that I've crossed
mm-hmm.
over. So she kind of played that card and was allowed down on Earth. But clearly, you know, your brother wasn't all that happy to see her. She's not supposed to be manifesting, A, so that's a big no-no. And two, she was hanging around you, and once in a free will way you said, I don't want who's ever attaching themselves to me to do it. She had to go. So I have no doubt that she was, like, sort of trying to possess you, her spirit, or trying to come through you. Again, she's recently dead.
Oh, my God.
So they don't know all the rules. And so they are read the rules.
I'm telling you, if what I felt that day was what she felt in life, it's no wonder she was a miserable friggin' person. Let me tell you, like, I don't ever want to feel that much anger and that much hate again. And I'm an angry person. I got a bad temper, you know. But I mean, I've never felt anything like that ever. It was just weird. I didn't like it.
Does it make you have compassion for her, or does it make you? What did it make you feel for her?
I don't know. I didn't think that much about it. I guess, you know what, it kind of makes me a little bit sad for her, because I don't think that anything in her life could warrant that kind of reaction. So clearly it just kind of maybe reconfirms that there was definitely something screwed up in her brain, because she had a lot of great things going for her. And if you felt that kind of hatred towards everybody and that kind of just distaste for everybody, like, there's definitely something wrong with you.
Right. And just know that she was, you know, I guess trying to come back down to earth. Maybe they even gave her a chance to see if she could make some peace or come through you and give you a sense of peace or say she's sorry. Because you're pretty psychic now because of, you know, the vortex that we've opened. I think she just sort of possessed you with all her rage and anger. And I don't think she's going to be permitted to do that anymore, because that's a big no-no.
Well, thank God.
So, I mean, I don't expect that again, but from what I could tell, she's pretty locked away at this point, because I can't even hear her now. So normally I can hear any dead person. So the only time I can't hear them is when they're literally locked away because they're just so much trouble. So
yeah.
I think that's what I thought.
I thought she was just making trouble for everything and everyone.
And that's what she's doing. So she misused her privilege. And there's instant karma up there, which is very interesting. Because here people do a lot of bad stuff, and it's years if ever they get caught or they get punished. There, you know, they gave her an opportunity to come back on Earth. She said that she wanted to tell everybody, you know, she's sorry and let them know she's okay. But she obviously scared, you know, you and your brother. And those are not things that you're supposed to do. So now she's going to just be punished instantly. So that's it. You know, she won't be given that privilege anytime soon, if ever again. So she misused it. Now, normally people, even if they've been pretty bad on Earth, if they read the rules and they are genuinely have had a little bit of their life review and they really, you know, they don't have their body, they don't have their greed, they don't have their addictions, they sometimes, like, really want to come back and just, like, say they're sorry. And she, you know, claimed that's what she wanted to do. But obviously, no, she's about the sorriest nothing, this woman, you know. It's sad. Some people are slow to learn. You know, I'm laughing only because this is not the first being of this nature that I've encountered, because they curse me out.
Mm-hmm.
They hate me. They tell me they're going to hurt
me.
I know they can't. The first time it happened, it was very scary to me. And I heard the voice of God saying, Cindy, they're nowhere where they can hurt you, but let them say whatever they want. Egg them on even a bit, because after that, we punish them. And they won't be able to communicate. And I hear that. Go ahead, egg them on if you want to. So, you know, we have this taunting back and forth. And then I hear like this, crashing close, as if they're locked away in prison. And I don't hear anything from them.
Oh, God.
So, like,
all right,
now,
good. I'm
now they're learning not to do that to me. I usually warn them. I go, really? You're going to tell me you hate me and you're going to hurt me? I go, I'm going to pretend I didn't hear that once. You say it again, you're going to get the full whammy of punishment. And they usually back off. Your grandmother isn't the kind of person that anybody could intimidate, anybody, teach her anything. So she will learn up there. She's just going to learn in a hard way. So, you know, unfortunately, you were possessed by her. That's the only way that I could explain it to you. And, you know,
well, gee, thanks.
I'm just saying, I don't think she'll do that anytime
soon. Wasn't bad
soon.
Enough I had to deal with her shit on Earth, but now I had to deal with her shit in the afterlife, too.
So I think what you want to do is tell God that, you know, you're karmically free of her. She's not to guide over you, watch over you, or have anything to do with you.
Well, please don't let her guide over me.
Yeah, let's just get rid of that. But I think that was an interesting story, because, you know, I don't hear that kind too much from the other side, but I get a kick out of it when I do hear it. By the way, it does definitely make me laugh. So, you know, only because I know they can't hurt. Believe me, the first year of doing this.
It was just freaky, because it was like a wave. It was just heat, you know, like it was just it was not fun. at all. And then all of a sudden, it was like, as soon as, you know, I walked, after I said, you're not allowed to be here and go away and this and that, and I walked in my house, it was literally like I, like somebody turned on a cool shower, and like all that heat was just gone.
They must have yanked her away almost immediately then, is what I would think. So before she could do anything.
I walked in, literally, I said it holding my doorknob. And then I walked in my house. And as soon as I crossed the threshold to my house, it was gone.
Good. And that's why I said, don't be afraid. She really, she's not going to be able to pull that anymore. So, I mean, it's not
okay.
Pleasant, but you're on a psychic, you know, you're sort of on this spiritual psychic learning path. So I'm sure that's why they allowed her to do it to you. So I could explain
mm-hmm.
it to you. I mean, if you, they probably wouldn't even have permitted it had you not been able to speak
well,
to
you know
me.
What? The universe tends to do this to me because whenever I'm not honing in or whenever I'm not concentrating, the universe tends to send me messages just to see if I'm going to pick up on them. And so they smack me in the face with them. So,
yeah, that's what your message. But I'm only laughing because they do it to me at least once a week. There's somebody that's going to kill me, hurt me from the other side, according to them. And I just, like, laugh at it now. Because, I mean, I find it rather amusing because they have no power. They have no power.
Yeah.
And they don't scare me in the least. I actually feel sorry for them because I know, uh-oh, you think you're in the worst realm? It gets worse. You know? Just keep it up. It
you
gets
know?
Worse.
And had she not abused that privilege, you know, then, you know what, she could have had a little bit of peace and everybody would have been forgiving and everybody would have been like, okay, fine. But still, even in death, she didn't learn a damn thing.
Nope. And that's why I said sometimes you have to learn. Some people are unfixable in this lifetime and probably 10 more. It's not unusual for a grandparent or a parent that wasn't a good on earth. Once they, you know, get a little bit of healing, maybe they heal their sexual abuse issues that maybe have caused a lot of rage. They don't have their addictions anymore. They're genuinely sorry. And they become very
mm-hmm.
good parents or people to watch over us from the other side. I'm pretty good at knowing those people who have changed in the afterlife and those people who will not change. And that's why I think you need to really ask your mom and you to both tell God that you want to be karmically free of her. You don't want to meet her in the afterlife. You don't want her to be able to come near you in this life nor in any other lifetime. You know, close the karma
yep.
door on that one.
I did it.
Good girl.
And
very
I,
liberating.
I believe my mother did it. I believe my mother did it. You know,
it's very liberating.
Well. I told her to, so I have to confirm that she did that.
Okay, good, because we don't want her coming around to your house to your mom either.
No!
Now, we don't want her around, and I don't want her coming here. She won't dare come here. She hates me. That's what she told me.
Oh, she better not.
She already told me she
You'll
hated
tell her
me.
Where to go.
You know, I just laughed. I said I've been hated by other people before. I'll survive here, you know. I kind of laugh at them because I just find it pretty amusing.
Kind of like,
at
hey,
this
Cindy,
point.
If you're going to be hated, it might as well be by the dead.
That's what I'm telling you.
Versus
the
living.
Most of the time the dead actually like me. So the few people that have hated me on the other side, because I usually, you know, deliver truths of who they were and what they were, and they like, oh, that's not very nice of you to say. You're supposed to honor the dead. I go, yeah, honor the dead. That's good, not you people. So I'm
Listen,
laughing. She's.
You could honor the dead all you want, but truth is truth, man.
I love that. Truth is truth. Now, we have a lot of listeners tonight, so let's see if we can, like,
do.
Maybe just...
We have several people that want to be picked up as well. I'm seeing a lot
good.
Of people
texting
their number ones.
Okay, can you tell people just again what they need to do if they do want to speak to us?
Yes, absolutely. Anytime during the show, if you are listening over your telephone, all you need to do is press the number one, and then we will get an alert on our side to pick you up and screen you. If we do not get to your call today, then please pop Cindy over an email at Cindy Bella. What is it, Cindy? I don't remember off the top of my head.
C-I-N-D-I, Cindy Bella, C-I-N-D-I-B-E-L-L-A. CindyBella1@yahoo.com, and you can tell us you want to go on the air next week, and we'll try to put you through if you give us your phone number. So, because some people wait and we don't
Absolutely.
get to you, so we do like to
yes,
get to
and
everyone.
We do try to get to as many calls as we can, you know. But some messages, you know, may take a little bit longer than others. So we will try to get to you if you are screened. And again, if we do not get to screen you, then please just go into that email and let Cindy know for next week. So we are going to start the show now, Cindy, because we've just monopolized 15 minutes and we do have a lot of listeners. And we're going to go over to the 917 area code. And just so that you know, we are speaking to you. The last four digits of your number are 9654. As usual, I do not screen the first call. And let's see who is waiting for us there.
Hi, ladies. This is Jennifer.
Hello, you're on the air.
How are you?
Okay, this is who? I'm sorry, I missed that.
My name is Jennifer.
Hi, Jennifer. How are you? And you're calling from New York City or Queens?
From Queens, close,
okay,
yes.
Okay, good. Mm-hmm. We like our New York girls.
Yes, as I love you both.
Oh, thank you.
My birthday's coming up. I'm going to be the big 4-0 next week.
Ooh.
And I was wondering if you could give me a love reading.
Okay, good. Now, I love that you told us your age, because I always tell people nowadays the village idiot can Google your name and find your age, so it's no use hiding it anymore. Nor should there be any reason people hide their ages. I mean, come on, it's good. We're here one more year on the planet, so that's good. And I always say when you're having a new birthday, it's the youngest you're ever going to be. So it's the youngest
right.
you're ever going to be again, so enjoy being 40. You actually have interesting cards, by the way. Is this a year you're determined in your big 4-0 to make love manifest? Is that what you want?
Yes.
Okay,
this
good.
Has to be it for me.
Okay, good. And you've closed the door on your ex, because there's like two exes showing up that weren't great. Have you closed your door on any of your exes or all of them?
Yes. An ex came back last September, and I listened to him for about 6 weeks. Nothing serious happened. It was just dinners. And that's about it, nothing intimate. And I just realized that even though all this time has passed, that still, you know, things still stay the same. It's
right.
been
he
10 years
changed.
Since I saw him. Yeah.
He hasn't grown up. It's so funny. You know, the men are having a hard time, you know, growing up and committing to love. And I think this is your year of really screening through people very quickly. I mean, I was watching a TV show the other night, and there was a funny line that, you know, the woman was like 40, and she's going, you know, the young men want us, the 24-year-olds, and the old men want us. The only ones that don't want us are the 40-year-olds. It's like, I thought it was kind of funny, because it seems like 40-year-old men are having trouble connecting with women
mm-hmm.
of their own age group. And, you know, you need to understand that you're going to have to not waste time with guys who don't want a committed relationship.
And
so,
I don't.
Good. And your ex... I'm not seeing him totally out of the picture, so I wouldn't be surprised if he resurfaces again. But don't waste any time with him, because
no.
he's never going to be anything.
Mm-hmm.
They gave him one more opportunity, by the way, before they were going to bring you in alignment with another soulmate. If he could have stepped up to the plate and made this work, that would have been good for him, but he couldn't do it. So I'm seeing a very, very nice relationship coming, very loving guy, makes very good money. He's a man, not a boy. He doesn't need you to support him. What are you doing to find anybody, Jennifer?
I go out all the time, and plus my work, I'm in sales, takes me to places all the time, so I never have the same day.
So you
day.
Know you can find love wherever you go, is that right? You know that.
Well, I believe that. I don't want to say I don't want to put effort into it, but I know a lot of my friends, they chase it, and I'm not a chaser. I just believe it's going to find me.
Okay, but you do have to also, just like when you get a college degree, college degrees don't find us. We have to go out and get one.
Oh, I do. All I'm saying is I'm not the chaser in a relationship. I believe that I'll put myself out there. I'm not going to be, you know, chasing after a man. I just feel things kind of work naturally.
Okay, but also just be careful, because sometimes there's very nice guys that might be looking at you across the room, and he's kind of shy, and you know, you're a good catch, and he might be a little afraid to come up to you. So if you do see a guy eyeballing you a bit, you know,
I smile. Absolutely.
And you might even maneuver over there a bit with, you know, something funny that you might want to say, and because shy guys sometimes just don't approach women. The players always do, but the shy guys sometimes get away. So, you know, don't be afraid if you see somebody admiring you or looking at you and he's smiling to go over, because I do see it happening for you, love, now. I think you're finally really wanting that, and I think you've always wanted it. You just haven't had to pick the men that were ready for what you had to offer them. But this is your year of, you know, I got the judgment card, which is a nice one on family. Do you want, you know, get married? Because this is you know, it looks like this is a marriage here and family.
I definitely want marriage. I do not want children.
Okay. And again, this guy may have children, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of men in their 40s do have children. So I don't think it would be a big problem to you, because this looks like a pretty good kid, by the way, in the card showing up. So I'm glad that you don't want babies, because you're not then in a rush with your biological clock ticking. So
no.
That's always not good, because then women kind of put the rose-colored glasses on and don't see flaws in guys. But this is a soulmate. You got the soulmate card. Money looks good this year, too. You got the Ace of Cups, which is falling in love card. So this, by the time you get to, you know, 41, you should be in this relationship and really very happy. So this is your year. And I know you're serious about it, but money looks extremely good this year. Are you having a good money year so far?
Well, actually, I got bad news from one of my clients today that they're not going to be using the antibiotic that I promote. So I actually didn't think it was going to be a good year.
Okay.
I got some bad news.
Well, try to see if you can get some new clients, because it looks like, you know, you're a good salesperson. I see that. I see it being a good year of money, so...
No.
Don't get discouraged just because, you know, one client.
Well, it's a big account, so.
I know, it's always disappointing, and but I see, like, better money here for you, by the way. So, you know, you're good at your job.
Not at a new job at this.
You've got, like, three different money cards. One is doing okay, actually pretty good at the job you have, and then the other two represent you maybe learning something a little bit different and getting another job, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
so
okay.
That's not out of the question here, but ultimately you got the Queen of Pentacle cards, which is a woman in her 40s that starts to make really good money. So, you know, it's an opportunity may come your way. So don't be afraid to jump on it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay.
You know, even if you do get a new job or another job offer, that's sometimes how we're going to meet our soulmate. So all your ducks are getting in a row right now. So you actually have very good cards. There's nothing bad in your cards other than that your ex may resurface again. So,
well, I'll handle that.
I don't think that's necessarily bad. I just think that, you know, it's kind of cutting him loose at this point.
I did. I thought I was really clear in November when I said goodbye, and I just told him we're on two different pages, and that's okay. I just
so you're on two different planets, you know.
Right. I just... said you need to be with the person who's on your page, and I'm going to find the person that's on my page, and left it at that. I don't mind being friends with him, but I've known him for a long time, but I don't see anything with him. And
I would even get rid of the friendship, because that's not what he wants, and sabotage things. So,
the only reason why I suggest friendship, not to him, I said goodbye to him, but to you, is because he's friends with a lot of his exes, and it's purely platonic, so I thought, well, if he could be friends with
that. Well, that's
because
he can't let go of people, and these men can't commit to women fully, and then they can keep them as friends, which is bullshit, because if you wanted to be a lover with him, a husband, he can't keep, you know, this is stupid that women keep letting him just be the friends. It's not what they wanted in the beginning. He just can't let go of anybody, and he can't commit.
Well, these women that he's ended with have moved on and married, but he still talks to them and so forth. But, you know, that's fine. It's not a necessity. I'm fine without him, really. That's why I let
good.
Him go.
And I would tell you, just let this one go.
Well, thank you.
Well, good luck to you, and have a wonderful 40th birthday.
I'll be in Bermuda. I'm really excited.
Oh, wow. Good. Enjoy Bermuda. Go take a nice long swim for me, please.
I will. Thanks so much.
Good luck
to you.
Bye.
Thank you, Nicole. Thank you, Cindy. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, we have someone in Sag Harbor. I love Sag Harbor.
We do have somebody in Sag Harbor. We have Linda in Sag Harbor, Cindy. And Linda has got some financial questions for you. She's looking into possibly renting her place, and she wants to know what the summer holds. So let's speak to Linda in Sag. Hello, Linda. You're
Hi,
on the
Cindy.
Air.
Hi. Hi,
Cindy. Hi, Linda. How are you? And so you've got this place in Sag Harbor you're thinking about renting this year.
Yes, just in the summertime a little bit. And also, yes, and changing jobs and thinking of traveling and thinking of my love life and just making a major change.
Good. I'm glad you want major changes, because if any cards I've ever seen, that major change is coming is in your cards.
What card is that?
Well, you got the whole alignment of your cards is major change in every way. And career-wise looks really promising here, by the way. Looks like you're a creative person. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay, because it looks like money coming through a creative venture as well as maybe another source, which would probably be the rental of the of your place.
Okay.
And have you put it up yet for rent? Because it looks like it's going to go pretty quickly if you put it up for rental now.
Yeah, I'm just doing it word of mouth. Just not putting it on site. I've got a couple people working with me, so because I can't go on an Airbnb.
Okay, good. Well, it does look like it's going to rent very much so. And in terms of your love life, I mean, this is your year. Have you just, what's your birthday? You don't have to give me the year, just the month and the day.
June 14th.
Okay, so you are just near birthday. That's what I thought, because your cards show that your new year really goes from one birthday to the next. So this is a perfect time for you to get a reading because your cards show a lot of change between June 14th and the next June 14th, including the card that I got on a really good relationship, a man who wants a committed relationship. Is that what you're looking for? Because this is what the card's showing, a committed relationship. I mean, this is not like just a little fun and games. This is the real deal.
Is it through travel, too? Would I be traveling?
It looks like it could be through the travel, but it's like it's not a long-distance romance. So it's like if you meet him on traveling, he's probably from New York to begin with.
Okay.
So that's interesting, because and it shows that, you know, you got the Fool card. You have to be a little bit of a fool to fall in love, but I think you've examined your heart and looked at your life. It looks like a lot of soul-searching in the last year. Have you felt that way?
Absolutely.
Right, and what you've come down to is realizing, you know, there's more to life than this. I want, you know, a good career, but I want love, and so that's love is the number one showing up in this card. Did you let go of your ex? Because there's not a great relationship in the past showing up.
No, the past is over.
Good. And is it over in terms of you psychologically, which means, okay,
absolutely,
you might have gotten hurt, but now I'm ready to get myself out there. Good. And this is a soulmate card that I got. It's very healing soulmate. It's a heart, soul, mind, body love. You know, it's a little bit of shaking up your whole world, even the travel, even, you know, renting your house, getting a little bit away from Sag Harbor a bit. It looks very good here. But when you return to Sag Harbor, it looks like your whole life should be able to be very, very changed for the good here. So money looks better in the future. The renting looks important. It looks like if you rent it, you can actually get some good money. It's a good rent year this year.
And I'm going for a little job interview on Saturday that might be, I mean, it could take up a lot of time, but it could be helpful also.
Good. And
it might be
again,
too conservative.
Getting yourself, like, wherever you go, like you're working a new job, expands your friendship world and your soulmate world, so that's a good way to meet people, too. So it actually looks really, really good for you. It looks like you're probably going to get that job. Do you want it? Because it looks like you're probably going to get it.
I don't know yet. I'll see if I do want it, you know, or if I do get it.
Right. And again,
it
looks like it would offer you some money, but if it looks like it's going to be taking up too much of your time in a way you don't want to, you don't certainly have to settle. But nothing is bad in your cards. You actually have money looks much better in the upcoming year. Love is there. There's a father figure standing right near me. Did you lose your dad, by the way?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, because he's here wishing you a happy birthday, by the way. It's funny. He said you have to tell her happy birthday for me. He seems like a very nice man. Was he nice on earth?
Yes.
Okay, because, you know, this is a nice man because he came very gingerly into my room, not to frighten me. He didn't manifest, but I felt his spirit because they're not supposed to manifest. And he said, excuse me, but tell her that I want to wish her a happy birthday. But he said, excuse me. I thought that was very nice. He's very polite.
Yeah, he was polite.
Your dad says he would rest a lot more in peace if you had a good man beside you, by the way.
Yeah.
So soulmate love always comes from God and someone who died. So it's your dad's birthday gift to you this year, soulmate love. So, you know, he seems to be very happy with the person he's picked, and out of the available soulmates for you, he thinks it's the best one. I'll give you a little heads up. The man is generous. He's independent financially. He's a very fair man. He's got some of the traits of your dad that you liked. You know, he's a man of integrity and hardworking. So, and you got the Wheel of Fortune spinning. So you've got this really great five-year period opening up. So let your dad bring on the changes he wants to bring for you. And he's hoping that you wanted to hear from him, by the way.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good.
Love
because,
hearing from him.
Good, because
love
it's so, you know, he said he was a good dad, so I'm like, he said there's no reason she wouldn't want to hear from me, but he is the bearer of the good news that love is coming, so, and it is coming from him, so get yourself out there. He said don't sell yourself short, though, so it means with this job, you know, ask for, you know, it's, there's certain things they want you to do, but it doesn't seem like you want to do all of that, you can negotiate a bit.
Okay.
So, well, okay. Good luck to you, and thanks for calling. And let us know when you rent your place. It sounds exciting.
I will. I will do that. Okay.
And
the house
good
is
luck
clean.
To you.
The best part about it is the house has been overhauled and cleaned, and every inch has been looked after. So that
wow.
always feels good.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, that's
you know, when you rent something, you want it to be nice. I mean, I can't stand when we go away to places, even when it's like a hotel or a motel, and it's not as clean as your own house is. You know what I mean? It's like, huh? Or it's not as nice. So people, when they make a rental, that sounds like a really nice rental for them to have.
Okay.
So that's good. So
thank
tell
you
everybody
so
you've got it. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Cindy.
You're welcome. Bye. Now, Nicole, wasn't that nice that Linda's father showed up without
yes.
even asking? That was very sweet. He was very sweet, though. He was the opposite of your grandmother. You know, your grandmother, if she wanted to come, probably would just plow through. He sort of
I'm sure.
tiptoed. He sort of like tiptoed in and was like, "Can I excuse me? But I want to talk." And he was like so sweet. You know what I mean? Very, very sweet. Very polite. Very nice. You know? I thought
yeah.
But you know, I guess he must have heard they're not supposed to scare us, so he was particularly trying not to scare us today. You know, so I'm laughing.
Well, thank God
for
that. Clearly, the dog got spooked, though. Sorry about that, Cindy. He has no manners.
I know for sure. But I know you haven't screened somebody else, so you can just kind of.
Well, I have not because nobody has pressed number one to come through right now. So I don't know if that just means that they did not hear me say that they need to press number one. Or if that means up, and look who it is. Everybody started pressing that number one now, Cindy. So unfortunately, we're going to be treating this next caller as if it's the first caller because I did not know anybody wanted to speak. So we're going to go over to the 631 area code. Just so that you know,
great.
We are talking to you. The last four digits of your number are 9351. Okay, so let's see who's waiting for us there. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. I am so happy to have gotten through.
Well, it was your day to get through. I'm just telling you because your number just like zoomed in on me, and I'm like, oh, we got to talk to this lady. So what's your name, by the way?
Ruthann.
Ruthann. Oh, you have such good energy.
Ruthann.
Hey, what is it?
Ruthann.
Oh, Ruthann, that's a pretty name. Very pretty name. So anyway, you've been waiting a while, so you must have something on your mind that you need some guidance on or that you want to share with us so you can just spill your heart out.
Well, I tell you, I have a divorce situation in the house, and I dearly love my son-in-law. They both have moved on. But now, I don't know. I feel I don't want to abandon my son-in-law. And I really, he's a super father. And what do you do?
Is your daughter asking you to abandon him? Does she want him out of the house? Is that what she wants?
Yeah, it's coming to that.
Okay, now isn't it funny? It's the opposite of what children used to have to do in the past. Their parents were divorcing, and it was the child that would be saying, you know, what you're saying. I'm kind of laughing, like, oh, I like this guy.
But you know, there's children involved, and the children want their dad.
Right, and of course, he looks like, like you said, he's a very nice man. The divorce could be done without so much drama and trauma, but you're...
Well, there's not, there isn't screaming, yelling, name-calling. That,
right.
Thank God.
That I can see here, but she's got somebody else, your daughter. You know about that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that person's putting a little bit of pressure on her. He doesn't like that the husband's there in the house. And so that's where some of the pressure's coming from. And, you know, she's trying to make him happy. And it's almost like it's going to get, your daughter's going to start maybe not being so nice about him being there. So you're going to be torn between your son-in-law and your daughter if you're not careful. And I think he's a little bit depressed over the situation. But, you know, it looks like he's going to probably have to find someone else, somewhere else to live. Now, do they have joint custody here with the kids?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So is there, you know, have you suggested to him that he could maybe look for some place that he could be renting?
That is supposedly in the works.
And supposedly,
know.
I like the supposedly, because he's not going to leave unless he has to.
Yeah.
And you know, there has to be a little bit more. I know you don't want to be the bad guy here. Is she going to stay in the house with you and the kids?
Yes.
Okay, good. Because, I mean, it is your home. And, you know, you have to kind of, you know, put your foot down a little bit. It doesn't look like he's looking very hard to find a place to live. So that's part of the problem. And, you know, if you be too nice about this, I think your daughter's going to not be. Your mom has passed away, by the way, Ruth Ann?
Yes.
Okay, because mm-hmm. your mom's trying to be diplomatic here. Okay, she's a nice woman, your mother.
She, you know, she was teaching my sister's 9 children at 61. She had just been diagnosed with cancer to ride a pogo stick.
Wow.
That's
her.
Mom.
Now, you can have the woman, I think she's trying to tell you, you got to ride this pogo stick, but you're going to have to not fall over here.
My mother was phenomenal.
She's very funny. She's very nice. She said, I wouldn't want to be in your shoes for all the, you know, tea in China. But, you know, your daughter has somebody else. You know, she doesn't want to lose this guy. He's not loving the situation. You're going to maybe have a new son-in-law in the future, and you're going to alienate this one if you're not a little bit stronger about getting him out of the house. And you don't want to be the bad guy, but it really isn't you. I mean, he's manipulating you at some level by staying there. And I know the children want him there, but he's also telling the children some of this. So he's not making it easier for them either. But he's kind of manipulating you whether you know it or not. And he's not that he's a bad man, but, you know, you're going to have to be choose between your daughter and your son-in-law. And your mother's saying, who do you think she wants you to choose?
I know my daughter, you know,
right.
And I know all of her faults. So I can sympathize with the overall picture.
No, and I know you can, but, and of course, your daughters can, you know, be pretty narcissistic, and it's her way
yes.
or no way.
Mm-hmm.
And she could be very judgmental, and you don't want, and you know what your mother said, you don't want to get on the wrong side of her, because ultimately she may make it hard for you in the long
mm-hmm.
run. And, you know, your son-in-law is a nice guy, but the point is, if you were my mother-in-law, I wouldn't put you in this position. You're a nice lady. I wouldn't put you in the position of choosing between your daughter or me. I would know your daughter comes first, and I have to find somewhere else to live.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of money issue. He doesn't want to spend more money. So there's money issue here that he doesn't
mm-hmm.
want to be involved in. So, you know, he's going to stall this as long as he can, but he's putting you in a bad position, so you might have to just tell him, you know, within a month you have to have somewhere else to live. I can't have this. I can't be torn between my daughter and you. I love you both. I didn't want to get in the middle here, but I have to choose my daughter. That's the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, be nice about it. You have 2 grandchildren or 3?
2. Altogether, I have six.
Okay, but she has two. The two.
Yes.
Because one of them is not going to be a happy camper when the dad gets out of there, but you can't.
That's very obvious right now.
Right, but children can't be telling grown-ups what to do. They don't have the big picture. They don't understand. You know how many of my clients, after they grew up, feel really bad because they told their parents not to divorce and they realize how unhappy their parents were, or they told their parents what to do? Children don't know the situation fully.
No.
And you know, that child's manipulating and judging. And you don't want to create a monster here. People have to sometimes accept that this is life. It isn't always what we want. That's how life works. And, you know, if you say the right words and try to diffuse the situation, it should be okay. Otherwise, you're going to have problems with your daughter. And your mother said, I don't think you want those problems.
No, definitely not.
I mean, your son-in-law will forgive you because it's his nature. Your daughter-in-law, I mean, your daughter will not forgive you. And, you know, just know that, you know, you have to sort of give him an ultimatum at this point, you know, that you need to find a place. He'll still be able to see the kids and whatever. But it can't be. It's like he hasn't let go. It's almost like he doesn't get it through his mind that they're divorced. He would be perfectly happy to be staying just the way it is.
Yes, I agree.
And, you know, a lot of men are like that. A lot of people are like that. They don't care. Just they don't care if she comes and goes, you know. But it is your home, and ultimately, you know, you need to pray to do what's best for everyone, including yourself, because what's best for you is that there's some peace in that house. You know, is it a two-family house? Is that what it is?
Not really, no.
Okay, so, I mean, already you've got them in your house, so you've got the dysfunction. You know, another person might throw them all out. I mean, this is a lot on you at this point. But, you know, try to understand it is your home and you have a right to be happy in your home and peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
Your son-in-law just really doesn't want to spend the money. So,
okay.
Does he have the money?
I don't know. I truly don't know.
And, again, he's living in your home and, you know, it's funny you don't know much about his finances.
Well, with a divorce, he is paying the mortgage and the electric and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So he is, you know, stepping forward and paying a large amount of the bills.
All right. And if he leaves, are you going to be able to pay the house and everything?
In the divorce, that's what he's taking care of.
Okay. So I know you probably feel bad that now he has to get some other place to live, but... It's something that it looks like if you don't do it, you're going to have trouble with your daughter. So I don't know how much you're ready to duke it out with her. You know,
yes.
It'll be and you're not going to win over her. According to your mother, you're never going to win over her.
No, no.
You know, she can outfox you anytime.
Yes.
And,
yes.
You know, of course, with your grandchild, you know, that child might get mad at you, but you have to say, you know, grandma has no choice but to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what has to be, and I'm sorry. You know, I'm not responsible for the divorce. I'm only responsible for my home and what goes on here, you know, and this is what has to be. Just don't, you know, what happens is you're a very old soul. Old souls are very guilt-ridden. Everybody pushes our guilt buttons.
Yes.
Your intention in doing this is not to hurt anybody. It's just at this point, it's not healthy for them to see your daughter with somebody else in the house or whatever when her father, you know, their father's there. It's kind of awkward anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just be firm about it. Say it nicely. Give him, you know, a month or two to find another place. Tell your daughter, you know, that what you've done and that you don't want to hear about it. And you know, keep me out of this. But, yeah, okay. But your mom's just saying it's a modern world and she's not sure she could cope with all this. She doesn't envy your position, but you know you're not the one responsible for the divorce. So you know, don't feel guilty. You know they're lucky they have a nice home to be in, and you know, and that their dad can come to visit. You know, the house is open to him. You know, let him know that. But mm-hmm. He just can't live there anymore. Because I'll tell you, your daughter's getting a lot of pressure from her new boyfriend. Have you met him yet?
Yes.
Do you like him?
As much as I know him, yes.
Right. And again, you know, women, you know, she just wants to make him happy right now. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, I see that.
And, you know, you can't understand his position. You know, she's still living in the same house with her, you know, ex. That, who wants to get involved with that?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see his viewpoint as well, can't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
So, I mean, this is sort of modern families, but it's makes for a lot of confusion, even in the children's heads. Because what it is everybody's denying there's a divorce. It's like, okay, we're divorced, but we're not. Everything's still the same. Divorce, everything isn't the same after divorce. Things are different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think, you know, they've had time to adjust to the divorce, to kind of weaning off of the whole thing. But now it has to go to the next level. So figure your words, choose them carefully, and tell him it's time that he has to go.
Very good.
Okay, good luck to you. I know if you choose the words and you say to him, this is not what I would have chosen, this is not what I want, but, you know, this is my daughter and I have to do what she wants. It's the way it is.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I mean, let's face it, nobody expects you to choose him over your daughter, even if you like your son-in-law better, which I probably think you do.
And you don't even know me.
I know. I can imagine. And that's what makes you feel so horrible about it. But, you know, your son-in-law is in the wrong here, too. It really
mm-hmm.
would be up to... I mean, I understand he's paying money. Maybe he doesn't want to spend any more money. I get it, too. But maybe he just needs to rent a small studio for himself and, you know, can see the kids or they can sleep on a sofa bed or something, you know, when they come
yeah.
to see him. It's not the ideal situation, but... Divorce is never ideal. You know, it's funny, but it's like your divorce. Can you feel like somehow you're in the middle of this?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
You know?
And my husband's not here to put his two cents in or whatever.
Well,
he's
in your house. He's in your house a lot. Do you ever feel his presence there?
Absolutely. And
you know, it's funny because your husband
We have seen him and we have heard him. And I don't need to talk to him. Just let me know you're around. And he has done that.
Right. And what he's telling you is this is our home. And you got to keep the peace. Pretty much what he would have done, he would have been the man and told your son-in-law, you
mm-hmm.
got to leave.
Yeah.
And he would
have
been man to man. But can you understand that your son-in-law is not being a man? This is not his home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's your home. And there's boundaries here. So, you know, your husband said, I would have point blank told him, you got a month and you have to leave. I'm sorry. It's not what I want. I wish you guys would have, you know, made it work. But, you know, your husband doesn't see your daughter as being a person that, you know, does wrong. You know that yourself.
Oh,
but,
yes.
He knows she's spoiled. You know, he just said she can be spoiled. I get it. And I think he would have read her the Riot Act, too. At this point, like, you know, you can't have your boyfriend coming here until this is a little bit cleared up and whatever. But your husband said it was a lot easier when people stayed married. I'm kind of laughing at the way he's saying it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot easier. You were a very good wife to him, by the way.
Thank you.
A very good wife. And he doesn't envy that you're in this position. And he says this is when we don't miss life. But... channel him when you tell your son-in-law because he'll try to tell you what to do. It looks like a very peaceful year after you get this over with, so the sooner you get it over with, the better. But
you promise?
Saying, yes, I promise, but your husband's saying your grandchild can't be telling everybody, grown-ups, what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, this is something that my generation, the ones that raised children in their 30s, allowed the kids to have too much opinions about stuff. They don't have all the facts under their belt. They don't know economics. They don't know how hard it is to make a living. They don't know how hard it is to make relationships work. They don't know how impossible it is to stay if you're unhappy. And yet we're allowing them to tell us what to do. And in the long run, it's you're sort of creating a monster. So, you know, your husband said he wished you were here to help, but he wasn't going to be vital, and he couldn't be here and have people wipe his butt and take care of him. So,
well, that's at the end, that's how it would have been.
He said, and that would have been a total nightmare for him.
Mm-hmm.
He is overseeing the whole situation. He says he'll help. So, you know, that means he can probably guide your son-in-law to a nice place to live. So you know, that's the best he can do at this point. He loves you very, very much, by the way. This is a very kind man. He was hardworking, super. Man.
Yes, he was phenomenal.
And he wished that your daughter has that with a man. You know, he thinks your daughter was wrong a lot during this whole divorce thing. I mean, he's not really on her side a lot about it, by the way. But he says she always did what she wanted, so what can I tell
mm-hmm.
you?
Yes, yes.
It's her way or no way. She may live to regret her decision later on, by the way. But, you know, your husband says there's nothing we can do about it.
No, no.
Well, good luck to you. Call in and let us know how it goes with your son-in-law. Your husband says, you know, he will try to help, and I believe he's a man of his word.
Thank you.
Well, good
luck
to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Thank you, Cindy.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Bye. Now, isn't it hard to be a mother nowadays, Nicole? Look at that.
Yeah.
Oh, God, it's like...
Yeah, no, I definitely don't
envy her. And she's such a
nice
woman. She doesn't want to hurt anybody. But did you understand what I was talking about? Her son-in-law should know
yes.
he has to get out. It's, you know, I mean, this...
No,
like
I do. And you know what? It's difficult because you can obviously you can tell that chances are her daughter is the one that wanted to bail on the marriage. And, you know, she really, you know, it's probably a little bit disappointing to her. And because her son-in-law, you know, didn't really probably do much wrong in that capacity, she really wanted to support him and stand by him. And, you know, for however many years they were married, you know, he was still part of the family. And it's also, you know, people when they get divorced, they don't realize that it's not only a loss of that marriage for you, it's a loss of the marriage for the rest of the family as well. You know, and I get that she doesn't want to, you know, that she doesn't want to, you know, deny him that, and that she doesn't want to not support him. But she has to make the call. And just because she asks him to leave, it does not mean that she's abandoning him. She can still maintain a very friendly relationship with him. She can still, that is still the children's father. They can still speak. They can still go out to lunch if they wanted to. And that's not really betraying her daughter. You know, as long as she's keeping him at bay and as long as he's, you know, not in the house, really. You know, I mean, over time, her daughter's going to get over that. And, you know, she can still have somewhat of a amicable relationship with this man.
Of course. And that's the whole point. But, again, you know, sometimes life throws us stuff. You know, it's really the hard part. I've heard so many times people that have told their parents to stay married and later on regretted it. So, you know,
that
it was not something they should have said or should have gotten involved in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, sometimes kids will say, well, then you can't date anybody. You can't. I'm like, then you tell your kid they can never date anybody. Come on. This is absurd.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway, we have
I
Patty
remember when my mom became single again, my brother used to do that to her. If my mother went out. And keep in mind that my brother was like 17, 18 years old at the time. You know, if my mother was out late, he would call her, where are you? You didn't tell me where you are. You're supposed to be home already. Don't you have work in the morning? Like, he became the parent.
Right, right, which is
oh, my God,
absurd.
It was crazy. It was crazy. You know, kids should not be making those decisions for their parents. And unfortunately, she's faced with that as well, you know, with kind of, you know, being influenced by her grandchildren. But children are more
exactly.
resilient than you give them credit for. They'll be okay.
So we do have Patty in California. Is this my Patty?
We do.
Okay. So.
This could be your Patty. I did not ask if it was your Patty. But
okay.
Patty is in Cali, and she's having a relationship issue, Cindy, and she needs some advice. So
okay,
let's
good.
Cruise over to Patty. Hello, Patty. You're on the air.
Actually, I want to clarify that. I lived all my life in the West Coast, moved out of state about 9 months ago, and my last big relationship was 13 and a half years with a, you know, good man, and we broke up several years ago. And so I live by myself now. And he just died this morning from cancer. Uh-huh. It was a quick thing, like 5 weeks. And so I was in contact with him every day. And so the weird thing is that he begged me to come home to see him, stay with him, you know, because he was ill. And my preface is, with him passing, it kind of made me realize that I really want to be in a relationship again. So I want to know.
Good for you. And,
you know,
and it's funny because he gave me the hermit card. There's two kinds of mourning cards. The hermit card means look inward and see the light, and that it's all good that he's gone now, and that
yes.
he will teach you how to commune with the dead. He's made a really nice transition over, by the way. The 5 weeks in which he was dying gave him some time to adjust, get some life review, know what he could have, would have, should have done better. What he wanted you to do is know that you guys had been soulmates once upon a time. It didn't maintain itself because it's very hard to maintain soulmate love. But he will grant you another soulmate because you two made a lot of amends with each other. Can you feel that way?
Well, I talk with him every day. He was not with his upbringing. He was not one that could. He was unable to speak well with women in relationships. He didn't communicate well, and so I talk to him every day. And it's interesting that all of his friends, all of us, maintain contact with him every day. People, friends would visit him, whereas his family kind of flaked. And anyway, so, you know, in the last 5 weeks, he's had a lot of friends come and visit him every day to kind of surround him and be with him and all that. And so it's kind of like, it's weird. All of a sudden, it's like he got sick and he realized that, you know, I may not make it. So all of a sudden, he started telling me things he should have told me during the relationship. And
that should give you some sense that he was a commitment phobic. He was afraid of love.
Yeah.
But at the hours of the death, and what talking to dead people is brutal, by the way, is because most people didn't love the way they should have, and they have a lot of regrets. They could have, would have, should have loved better. He at least got to tell you he could have, would have, should have loved better while he was on Earth. And know that you weren't responsible for the fact that he couldn't communicate. He loves you very much, by the way, and you will
be
granted.
He said he made some really bad choices, and you know, he has a lot of regrets. And I told him, well, just go forward, forget about that, go forward, and just concentrate on being in peace. And
you helped him so much. He would love to bring you a soulmate. Soulmate love always comes from God and someone who died. Because he didn't maintain that soulmate love because he wasn't able to heal his issues. And I'm not surprised he died of cancer because he stuffed down a lot of anger in his life. He was depressed. He didn't deal with his issues. And it becomes toxic in our body, and the end result is cancer. So, you know, he was mad at himself.
He held everything in. And his mom says, well, you know, he shouldn't have any regrets. I said, you know what, he was a depressed person. I told you about that years ago, and you didn't want to listen. And he held everything in. He was, like, calm on the outside and like a tornado inside.
And
so
that's
it just
exactly,
kind of made me...
That's exactly the kind of person that gets cancer and dies from it. So
yeah.
Know that you're not responsible for the ending of that soulmate love. There is a soulmate coming. You now overcame your big fear of loving someone who could die on us because you've witnessed this happen. And for you... The breakthrough and the miracle of making some sense of closure with a soulmate is now you're ready for another one, and you will be granted another one. You have a wonderful five-year period opening up. And, you know, you allowed him to go to a nicer realm because he made up for some of the things that he should have done. When we destroy a soulmate love, it's a pretty serious karmic infraction, and, you know, not to heal from it, to throw it away, so... At least he was able to rectify that here on Earth rather than in the afterlife. So he's in a much nicer realm than he would have been, and he's thanking you for that. Love is coming here, and it looks very soon, by the way. So I'm glad you're ready for it and you want to love. And when is your birthday? Just the month and the day?
March 1st.
Okay, so you're in the sort of... 2 months or so, into 3 months into your new year. So you should have this love by the time your birthday comes, if not sooner. So open your heart to it. It looks really good. He will guide you and give you some messages if you pay attention, by the way. He liked music a lot, so you're going to get a lot of messages through music from him. Do you remember
because,
the song?
All that kind of stuff. But...
So, he promises to give you very, very clear messages. He's sorry. I mean, your relationship really should have gotten much more toxic than it got. You did a pretty good job of not letting it get it that bad. another woman might have killed him for what he did. I mean, it looks like he could have stepped up to the plate sooner. But death is a wake-up call, and I think he woke up from it. So, you know,
well,
glad he had...
the thing is that, yeah, you know, he begged me to come visit him, and my work schedule changed, so I couldn't fly out, and so I wasn't able to see him while he was still alive. But I sent him a video via the cell phone, and I had our good friend play it for him, and it was fun because he said that he played it 3 or 4 times, and then he put up to his ear so he could listen to it again, and then he had his friend download it to his computer so he could save it.
Wow. Well, that's a song of whenever you hear it playing now, you know it's a message from him. So, you know, that's wonderful. Well, we are at the end of our show. Thank you for sharing that today, by the way.
Thank you.
And, you know, he crossed over immediately, so that's really great. He's very peaceful. And that's
he was on a lot of morphine.
Well, good. But sometimes when people are on a lot of morphine, they don't cross over. They don't realize they died. But he was very cognizant of the fact that he had died. So
that's good.
That's what
I was praying for.
Good.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for sharing your story with us, and have a great week.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Well, boy, we had a really lot of different interesting people tonight, Nicole.
Yes, we did.
Didn't we? And you know the difference between that man crossing over peacefully and your grandmother. We began and ended with recent deaths, but very entirely different ones.
Yes, so it came full circle today.
Right, because this man made some amends at the hours of his death, which you were hoping your grandmother would do, but she never did.
Why couldn't my grandmother do that? But you know what? It is what it is.
She can't. Well, anyway, we're at the end of our show, and we'll all speak next week. Thank you, Nicole, for your little fun opening story with your grandma.
Well,
I got a kick out of
that
one.
Thank you very much, Cindy, as always.
I got a kick out of that. Good night, everybody.
I'm glad you enjoyed. Good
Bye.
Night.